Coming up on BYU Football with Kalani Sitake, you can make it back-to-back rivalry wins for the boys in blue as the Cougs gave us a thrill and broke Utah hearts on the hill. BYU now 9-0 and climbing in the CFP rankings. Coming up, it's a clash with Kansas. And we're looking back and ahead with Kalani and Big John Nelson next on BYU TV and ESPN+.
BYU Football with Kalani Sitake is presented by Intermountain Health, official medical provider of BYU Athletics.
All right.
Yes. This is what we call a full house in the biz. Hello, good evening once again, Cougar Nation. We welcome you after our second of two bye weeks and the Utah week back inside Studio C at the BYU Broadcasting Building on the beautiful Brigham Young University campus in Provo, Utah for our week 10 edition of BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. We are full here in Studio C. So glad to have you joining us and our BYU fans in the building live or on demand via the BYU TV and BYU radio apps along with ESPN+. Coming up on tonight's jam-packed show, we will, well, we'll take a look at what the new CFP rankings show us because they're going to come out during the show. They're not yet out, but they will be soon. We'll find out where BYU is. We will take a look back on Saturday's heart-pounding win at Utah, a victory that improves BYU to 9-0 on the season, 6-0 in the Big 12. Our guest in the film room is the man who made the game-winning kick in Salt Lake City, Will the Thrill Farron. Deep Blue will profile the first lady of BYU football, Patty Edwards, tonight. Defensive tackle John Nelson is our live-in-studio guest. Plus, we'll have our mini game show segments, some Q&A with the coach and Big John, a weekly BYU football trivia question, uniform check, and a whole lot more coming up. But first, we must introduce to you the man who picked up his 70th win as BYU's head coach 3 days ago. It was his second consecutive win over Utah, and it keeps BYU's perfect season intact. Please say hello and welcome back into Studio C, the man himself, Kalani Sitake.
Got a packed house tonight.
But that's kind of like every room you walk into this week, I think, is kind of the same reaction.
Reminds me of church.
By the way, how about a word of a hand of applause for Hazel, our lay girl. Hazel Hamouli, well done as always. Thank you, Hazel. Wow, man alive, 9-0. Just keeps on rolling, doesn't it?
Yeah, feels good. I still think we can play better. So that's the thing. I'm looking forward to getting the work done and just really excited. More than anything, this last one, really excited for the fans. And the players could feel it too. So, I know that everyone looks tired. They probably didn't sleep much over the weekend.
Do you remember what time you got to bed Saturday night?
Well, when we got back, I thought it was going to be pretty easy. Get my car and go home. But
nope.
There's thousands of students that were here and fans that were ready to party some more, and so I'm like, all right, we better get out here. It took us forever to get out of here, so and I wanted to leave, but Cosmo and Will Farron were standing in the bed of my truck.
truck?
That was my truck, yeah. So I mean I don't want to be the party pooper, like, hey guys, I gotta go, get out of the way, but you know, they're crowd surfing off of my truck.
And yes,
I don't think the crowd really wanted to work out to have me crowd surf that time, but I'm glad that Will got to do that with Cosmo, and it's a lot of fun. But if the fans want to keep it going, we'll keep it going, even if it goes really, really early into the morning.
Did you get a little bit of sleep?
I did, yeah. I mean, I can't. I mean, I'm old. I want to go to sleep as soon as I can, you know. So, but we also have a 2-year-old at home that makes it a little difficult. So the rock and the 2-year-old, not a lot of sleep, but it's okay. I feel like they got tons of energy, just like the fans do.
We've had so many special weekends this season, special nights and weekends, and that was just the latest. It was one of those magical evenings, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and just it was really cool how it all came about, and just the energy. It was nice to do it and to be in Rice-Eccles Stadium and to have that. I mean, you know, you just have that back and forth with Utah is a lot of fun, man. And I'm glad that we were able to get the victory. But it was really cool to share that field with them and see a lot of familiar faces and have a tough battle that came down to a 1-point game. So that was kind of felt like that's how it should have been.
We'll get into that game in a little bit, of course. You mentioned the full house, and it is a packed studio seat tonight. We also have some special guests with us this evening. Mel Hamilton and his wife, Carrie, and John Griffin is here. John, is Gilda here with us tonight, or just you? Just you. And members of the BYU Office of Belonging are here. Mel and John, of course, original members of the Black 14, and Black 14 Philanthropy is pairing with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and LDS Charities to feed people across the nation, of course, in coordination with the BYU Office of Belonging. It's great to have you gentlemen here. Appreciate you and all you've done. And BYU's partnership with the Black 14 has been a special development over recent years.
Yeah, it's been an honor having Mel and John be part of our educating our players and kind of just being able to share their story. I know that we had a really good connection with them and our players. It felt really good to be able to talk about football and talk about any social issues that were out there, and then our role as disciples of Christ and how to love people and how to make their lives better. And so welcome, good to have you guys here, and looking forward to our future partnership still.
All right, thank you guys. Appreciate you. And if you'd like to learn more about the Black 14 and contribute in their charitable efforts, go to black-14.org. That's black-14.org. All right, we are awaiting the CFP rankings. They'll be out here in the next few minutes, actually. They're coming out between doubleheader basketball games on ESPN tonight. So when we know, you'll all know, and you might actually know before we know if you've got a phone out. So we'll get it pretty soon. But the point is, you're going to be in the CFP rankings, looking to move up from 9 last week. I know you're focused fully on Kansas, but the polls are part of the dynamic right now, and the CFP is as well. It's fun to be involved with it.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think I said it in the presser yesterday that I'm not really worried about it. Trying to stay focused on what we're trying to get done this week. I'm glad that people are talking about us. That means that's a good sign. But we got to just stay humble, stay hungry, get back to work. That's what we know, and we've been doing that for the past 9 games, and we've got to do that again for this 10th one because this is a really tough team that's coming to town. It's cool that the fans get to enjoy it more than anything. But the distraction can be a distraction, whether it's positive or negative. We just got to put our nose to the ground and get to work. So that's what we're going to do. But congratulations, fans. You guys can have fun with it. And Greg, you can talk about it and try to distract me more, but it's not going to work. So, yeah, well, but it's a lot of fun, and it's a good sign for the program.
And, of course, beyond the CFP, which is a great discussion, your next game is a conference game. It keeps you in the conference championship chase. That's the other thing, too. One thing you weren't doing in Independence is playing for a title, and you get to play for a title each week now, and you're getting closer and closer to that objective, and Kansas is another big step.
Yeah, and then just being interested in the teams that you're going to face, that's left on the schedule, and seeing how, I mean, it's a cool partnership with the Big 12 because now we're looking to see what the scores are and how the other teams are doing. Teams that we played, how are they doing? We want to, encourage and cheer them on as they're going out because if we beat them, we want them to do well. We want them to beat others. And even when they play against each other, I guess we just want them to have at it. But it's nice. In Independence, you really didn't have this connection. And now that we're going to be able to see this, and in fact, playing Kansas, they're one of the teams that we played last year that beat us. And so we remember that game, and we're looking forward to performing better than what we did last year. And I think that's just part of being in a conference. That's what I knew when I was a player here. I mean, we played, and I was in the, we were in the WAC in the Mountain West, and so it just feels right, and I'm glad that the players get to enjoy it as well as the fans.
I think Kansas and Oklahoma State, right? They were the only two teams you're seeing in back-to-back years.
Yeah. So, and it's nice that we get them here at home.
I get asked a lot. I'm doing a few interviews this week, and they all ask, what's the toughest game left on BYU's schedule? And I say, well, it's that week's game. I really do believe that top to bottom, there's no game you can look at and go, because even, for example, the team that's 0-7 in this conference right now gave you as good a game as anybody. I think it's a really good league top to bottom.
Yeah, a lot of parity. And look at us last year. We took Oklahoma and Oklahoma State to double overtime. And then you're going to get their best shot. And I know that I'm watching Kansas. They're playing their best football right now. It just kind of makes sense that every time we play somebody, they're going to play their best ball. And I wouldn't have it any other way. I think we're expecting their best shot, and we need to make sure that they get our best shot. I think it's this game, and you see it on film, is going to get us, hopefully, enhance our level of play and get us to places that we never thought we could accomplish before.
Well, it is another huge game set for this Saturday. A full focus on the Kansas Jayhawks, and we will preview that game coming up shortly. But first, a final look back at what went down this past Saturday night in Salt Lake City. It was BYU and Utah for the 96th time all time. BYU playing for consecutive wins over their rivals for the first time since the 2006 and 2007 seasons. Let's take a look back at the momentum moment and top player performances presented by Waystar. And the momentum moment is a series of moments all coming in the final 90 seconds of the game. Jake Retzlaff, 30 yards to Chase Roberts, clutch catch. Darius Lassiter, on and out, get you closer. Hinkley Ropati, get you even closer. And now you're in Will Ferentz field goal range.
Yeah, and then he's over there smiling on the sideline. he seemed really loose, and I wasn't going to mess up his mojo. And obviously, he knew what he wanted to accomplish.
What a final minute and a half, though, for BYU. This is a great Utah defense. And for most of that fourth quarter, you were pinned back. It was tough to move the ball. Then you had to move the ball 50, 60 yards in about a minute, and you did that.
Yeah, and then they're just flipping the field on us. So when the defense was out on the field, we were playing almost in midfield. They had the field position in favor of them, and so you have to look at what Jay and the defensive staff was able to do, and by getting those stops, you know that was able to, we were able to make sure that the scoreboard stayed at zero. I mean, the defense shut them out in the second half, which was huge for us, and we knew it was going to be tough sledding. We knew that it was going to be a battle. I think the thing that was that people aren't talking about enough is that the X factor and the difference maker for us was special teams. You know, the kickoff return for a touchdown, the way that Sam punted the ball, the way that we covered the punts, and the way that we played it as a, you know, in a PAT and field goal unit. I mean, Will made three field goals. Obviously, we want to score touchdowns instead of field goals, but we'll take all the points we can get, and obviously we got enough points to win the game.
Let's get to some of the player performances, and special teams are involved in the guys we're going to look at. We'll take a look at three players. One of them is Keelan Marion, and Keelan's one of those guys that makes an impact on both offense and special teams. We will see his kickoff return touchdown as well, but he's clearly an important weapon for Jake Retzlaff and Coach Roderick.
Oh, yeah, and he's feeling really comfortable in the offense, understanding his role, and then his ability as a returner. You can see the speed and his vision. I just don't know why he took his mouthpiece out on this part. Just probably to scream and stuff like that. It's like, dude, you know, maybe you need more air or whatever. I got to ask him about that. But at least he had the ball, held onto the ball, and then whatever this dance was, I don't know. I'm getting old. I don't understand those dances, but it was a lot of fun. And we know he can do that at any moment, and the way that the other 10 guys blocked for him, I mean, they were all right there with him, and they felt that they knew it was going to happen, right? If you see on our film, you could tell when they made their blocks, like, guys are just like, yeah, we got this one. And K-Pop has him playing with a lot of confidence right now. That's a huge weapon for us.
It was Keelan's second kickoff return touchdown of the season, first BYU player with two kickoff return touchdowns in the same season since Stacy Corley back in 1989. All right, the second player we're going to highlight, Chase was on the case. 100 yards from scrimmage for Chase Roberts on Saturday night in Salt Lake City. He had 91 receiving yards. He had 9 rushing yards. He was targeted 8 times. He made 6 catches, and some of the best hands in college football.
Oh, yeah, and he blocks really nicely, too. And so he just knows how to get open, and he has secure hands. And he's had that one, that catch, because we weren't sure when we saw this catch right here, but he came off on the side and he's like, Coach, I caught it. Don't worry, my hands are underneath. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't even tell if I were to do something like that, but he his awareness and his ability to catch the ball and track it down. There's not a lot of people that can do it like him, and I think he's got a great future, and we're excited to get him more passes.
And then the third guy we're going to look at is a smiling Will Ferentz. Yeah, the guy that you leaned on to make the game-winning kick, and it felt like he was just, practice kicks as far as he was concerned. Look at him. This is before the kick. I got this.
Well, him and Sam are over there just kind of joking around, and I was sitting like, maybe this is the way kids are to this generation. I have no idea, but he told K-Pop, because we were trying to get the ball wherever, we were trying to get it centered up for him, and he's like, "Coach, just wherever it is, it's going in. I'm not worried about it." And so, he manifested it, but they work on this quite a bit. Sam's a holder, and we have, you know, our snappers with Riggs and Skidmore, so those guys can do a great job at it. And Sam actually never held before.
Yeah, that's
right. So this is something that they started to do, and they put so many reps in it that they felt like this is automatic for them.
On the night, Will was 3 for 3 on his field goals, 1 for 1 on the PAT, has made 17 of 20 field goals on the year. He's one of only 5 kickers in the country to be at 85% or better on 20 or more tries. Super reliable and a big part of your success this year.
Yeah, and he got his first tackle, too, on kickoff. And I just want to remind the other 10 guys on the kickoff team to not let it get to our kicker. He's there to kick the ball and not make tackles. So, but if he needs to, he's not afraid to put his helmet into a tackle as well.
Well, it is the Will Farron segment of the show, because in our last broadcast before the most recent bye week, Will Farron was one of our guests in the film room. He was talking about the Cougs' great fake field goal call back at UCF a couple weeks ago. Well, this week, Will is back talking not about a fake field goal, but a real one and a real big one. The game winner in BYU's 22-21 victory over the Utah Utes. Here is Will Farron with our Jerem Jordan inside the film room.
All right, Will, how was your weekend?
It has been crazy. It has been a crazy weekend for me, but it's been pretty cool. So,
okay, let's talk about the kick that will stick with you and your legacy and BYU fans forever, man. Okay, 44-yarder for number 44. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Your coach, Kelly Papinga, had a tweet where he talked about your confidence before, and he went up to you and said, "Hey, do you care where the ball is?" And, you know, something to the effect of, "Hey, it doesn't really matter. It's going in." Talk to me about the mindset going into this kick, because this is a massive moment. I dare say the biggest moment of your life as an athlete, right?
It's probably fair. That's probably fair to say. There's so much routine to kicking a field goal where it's all the moving pieces that happen the same over and over and over again. So we just kind of fell into the routine. Coach Papinga came up and asked me on the sideline where I wanted the ball, which for a end of game kick, they'll almost always ask, and an end of half kick, a lot of the time they'll ask too. I'm a guy where the way I, like, you take your steps to the uprights, and once you align to the kick, it's always a straight kick. So if I'm on the left hash or the right hash or the middle, it doesn't really matter. It's just hitting the ball straight. So if you do that, then it doesn't matter where on the field you are.
When do you know it goes through and it's good? When do you realize it?
This one I realized pretty quick. You can hit a ball really poorly and still make a kick. So you don't always know right away. But this one I hit really clean. And then you look up and see the ball fly in the air. And I don't even think I saw it go all the way through the uprights. I think I was turned and high-fiving Sam before that happened.
And your guys are so excited.
Yeah,
Cougar Nation was excited, obviously.
Yeah, it's fun to go back and watch all the reactions of the guys. Ray Paolo always does something good, even back to last season. but yeah, and then for me, Sam and Dalton, it's typically pretty vanilla. We just high five each other after. And
there's a million interviews. There's getting on the bus. It takes a long time to get back to Provo. But when you get back to Provo, I wandered over to Provo to see what that was like, and it was crazy. Thousands of fans, you know, rattling the bus, and you guys get out and everyone's excited. You go into the building, you come back out. I get in this pickup truck with some members of the staff, and you hop up in there, and I'm like, "Hey, Will." You're like, "I forgot my backpack on the bus. I gotta go out there." And then the fans and some of the safeties were out there. They want you to crowd surf.
Yeah.
And you end up crowd surfing. What was that like, man?
It was cool. It was weird, but it was cool. I've once again, I'm a guy that I don't really seek the spotlight a lot of the time. I had a group of guys that were on the bus with me that really pushed me into it, which was not at the time what I wanted, but it was pretty cool just to enjoy the moment.
Balatow, Tommy,
Tanner, yes, Ball, yeah.
They were
so we pull in and there's just tons of students and they're banging on the bus and they grab me and put me in the front of the bus and everyone starts going crazy and I was probably just bright red. But it was cool. And then going back out there, I think it was Folly Tao, like, grabbed my arm, and before I knew it, I was crowd surfing, and look over, and Cosmo's crowd surfing too. So it was cool. It was cool to enjoy that moment and just feel the support from the students.
And some men wait until November to grow a mustache. You're ready, right?
Yeah, I'm a couple years into this one, so it'll be here for a while probably.
Well, congratulations, and thanks for the time, man.
Thank you, appreciate it.
So I was in the broadcast booth at Rice-Eccles still. It was 2 or 2:30 in the morning. We're still on the air. And I get a text from my daughter, and she said, Will Farron just crowd surfed over me. I touched his kicking leg. So she was pretty stoked. And she said, Cosmo landed on me. I'm lucky to be alive. So she was into it as well. So it was a family affair Saturday night.
Yeah. And then, I mean, the guys, it was, they were so excited to see the fans. And I love coaching this team. They're having so much fun. And whatever the fans want them to do, they just try to match the energy. And, man, it's a lot of fun being around these guys and being around the fans. And so thank you guys for loving them and making, you know, Will grow a mustache and crowd surf. So he's stepping outside of his comfort zone. So he's doing some really good things for us. And I love the leadership that he brings to our team. It's been awesome.
It was. And by the way, shout out to my daughter, Afton, a student here at BYU. She's getting the most out of her collegiate experience right now. All right, let's take a look at some of the key stats from Saturday's BYU-Utah game presented by Smarty. Then we'll take a look ahead at Kansas. So these are some of the main numbers. That turnover margin number, always big. And yes, that last play, the lateral, did end up being a fumble recovered. So you ended up being officially +3 on the night as you ended the game. And I'll tell you, that total yardage number, it's always going to be about points, but that's a good Utah defense you had to go against on Saturday night.
Yeah, and the frustrating part is that our third downs were not good, and so we were not able to capitalize, and we were in the red zone three times and only scored one touchdown, had to kick two field goals. Luckily, Will can make those, but you want to convert those into touchdowns. And then defensively, we kind of got out of our way in terms of we weren't playing our style of defense, and we kind of got a little bit sidetracked, and guys were just trying to make things up. I think they were trying to make the play in that second quarter. It was a three drives of touchdowns that just is not like our team. And so, you know, we shut them out the first quarter, the third and the fourth, and so let's never play like the second quarter ever again. But you have to give a lot of credit to Utah. I thought they had a good game plan. There's some uncertainty there from us, not knowing who the quarterback was going to be and what kind of scheme they're going to have, because it was a new play caller and coordinator. So, but with that being said, I thought they were able to settle down, make adjustments at halftime. And we know that we could play better, but it felt good to be able to just, when it counted and when you needed it, we were able to go to it, because it came down literally to the last seconds.
You mentioned the third downs. To be fair, Utah is the best third down defense in the country. Top 15 total defense, scoring defense. They're really good, and BYU did well to get out of there with the win. All right, with Saturday's win, BYU improves to 9-0 and 6-0 in the Big 12. The Cougs need only two wins in their last three games, as of right now, to lock down a spot in the Big 12 championship game in Arlington. Next up, it is the Kansas Jayhawks. KU also has, Coach, a pretty clear objective. They need to win out to get bowl eligible, and they got their first win toward the four they need this past weekend, beat Iowa State. So you're going to have a highly motivated KU team coming in with some really nice offensive numbers, as you see there. Jalen Daniels was the preseason Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year last year. He's back, and Devin Neal is about to become a 4,000-yard running back in his college career.
Yeah, a lot of talent on that team, and even defensively. I think they play really good football. Lance Leipold's a really good coach, and he has Grimes there. He's familiar with our program, but they're dangerous, you know, so we have to be at our best. And then they're playing they gained some momentum right now. They beat Iowa State, who's ranked, and they did it pretty handedly. So it's not going to be an easy game, but, man, I feel good about our guys if we can play at our best. I like the preparation that we've had from yesterday and today, and so let's just keep sticking to our process that we've been working with and try to find ways to play. It's going to be good to be home. We've been away for a little bit, and so and traveled some miles. The Central Florida game was a ways away, but you know, when with that bye week and being up in Salt Lake City, it's good to be home and get some noise in our favor.
And be home for two of the last three as
yeah,
well.
Yeah.
All right, for your day-to-day Cougar Sports play-by-play, watch BYU Sports Nation with Spencer and Jaron weekdays at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. When we come back, Deep Blue will be on the air, and we'll profile Patty Edwards. We look forward to that. And defensive lineman John Nelson will join us live in studio. And BYU football with Kalani Sitake continues. Stay with us.
BYU football with Kalani Sitake is brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics, Waystar, and Breeze, the official hometown airline of BYU athletics, in partnership with the San Bernardino International Airport.
All right, so welcome back to BYU football with Kalani Sitake. Live broadcast during our break, the new CFP rankings came out. BYU goes from 9th to 6th this week. Kalani, congrats on that.
Yeah, stay humble, stay hungry. We'll be all right. Yeah, congratulations, fans. You guys can talk about it. So there was an argument about what the real ranking is. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Time now for this week's Deep Blue Profile. Patty Edwards is a much more than just the wife of BYU legendary coach Lavelle Edwards. She is her own person, clearly. She spearheaded a nationwide organization for coaches' wives and continues to be active in serving her community today. This tonight is Deep Blue featuring Patty Edwards.
I never seen a football game. I never wanted to see a football game. I hated football, in fact. But I had a roommate whose brother played football in high school. So she would go to all of these games and she'd tell me all of the wonderful things he did, you know. So I told him every play that he played on a football game. You know, he was really impressed. It went on, we became engaged, we got married, and it wasn't until on our honeymoon that I told Lavelle that I'd never seen him play in a football game. And he pulled over the side of the road and he looked at me and he folded his arms like this and he said, "What?" And then I started to cry. And then everything turned out okay. The first year that we married, I did go to a couple. And I think that's where I really realized the importance of camaraderie with players, with the other players' wives. You go to the stadium by yourself. You walk into a crowd of people that don't care a thing about you. All they want to do is watch the gladiators on the football field. So I think that's when I really realized the need for support. Football is a roller coaster. You have your highs and you have your lows. And you learn to enjoy the now, even in both the highs and the lows. Because if you don't, you will miss a lot of beautiful things around you. And doodle, are you being a good boy? And so I think, you know, if you have one philosophy that anybody should have, I would think it would to be enjoy the now. Lavelle and I had that motto when we were first married. And it's been very beneficial to us. You can get along being alone, you know, what channels you like on television, you know, which books you like and everything. But then all of a sudden you realize that it's that you really are alone. In fact, the other night, I was just sitting here knitting and watching television, and I thought, well, I'll stay up here a little longer because then Lavelle will be coming in. And he didn't. And that's loneliness. When you're expecting someone that's a part of you. We were married 65 years, and that person isn't coming in the door. That is loneliness. The first day I walked into the stadium and Lavelle was gone, and walk past the entrance where, you know, I would go to get my seats. That was hard. I realized that, hey, you better enjoy the now, because that's all you have. I think positive attitudes are wonderful. It helps you through many difficult situations. When you lose someone you love or when you're hurting, just put that smile on your face and go forth.
Please join me in giving a warm welcome to our beloved friend and champion, Patty Edwards.
These children are our precious commodities. We need to help them and we need to provide for them. And I'm so grateful to be just a tiny, minute part of Belonging.
The fact that Patty is still actively involved with the club is a testament to the great person that she is and who she's always been. She's a caring person who wants to help and give back. She's been actively involved with the club for so many years. I'm not surprised that at 92, she still comes out, gives speeches, and is involved in all of our activities, attends all of our special events. And I just love that she's always looking for ways to help out.
The Boys and Girls Club is a project that I love with all my heart. I can see the benefit of it. I can see the challenge of it, but I can see children progress. Now, who could not love that? I have never, ever objected to being Lavelle's wife or my children's mother, but I do object to someone that will say, I want you to meet Pat Edwards, she's Lavelle Edwards' wife, because that completely neutralizes me. That takes me completely out of the picture. And I think it's a good lesson for people to know, because when you're meeting somebody, you need to be interested in that person, not who she's married to or even what she's accomplished. And so that bothers me. The best thing any parent can give their children is a good name. I want them to be proud of their mother and, of course, their dad. But I want them to recognize that this name is special, and I want them to honor it. And I want my grandchildren, great-grandchildren to honor their name. So that means I've got a lot of work to do.
What has Patty been to you from player to coach of BYU?
Yeah, she's a... I can always count on her to text me after every game, win or lose, and it's always positive, kind things. You can see how powerful she is as a person, and so I've been very fortunate to be mentored by her husband, Lavelle Edwards, and still being mentored by Pat, and she keeps in touch with the wives, keeps in touch with my wife, and the women on our, you know, the wives on our football team and our coaches' wives. And she's helped change college football herself, especially for the women that are involved in college football. And you see that her commitment to service. What an awesome disciple of Christ that I love calling her a mentor of mine. I've learned quite a bit from her, and it's been really impressive. She's super bright, has a great sense of humor, which I appreciate, you know, and she brings a smile to my face, especially when I need one. So I love her so much. Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, we do love Patty and the Edwards family. Wonderful. Well, to tonight's player guest. And both of his parents were Division I hoopsters. But while he's certainly tall enough to succeed on the hardwoods, he chose cleats over high tops. And BYU coaches are glad he did. He is one of the anchors of the BYU defensive line. He is Big Bad John. Please welcome into Studio C, senior captain, John Nelson. Welcome in.
Thanks.
We got a full house for you.
Thank you.
The family sports tree. How would you hit some of the branches there for us?
I would say I'm a
very, very small branch of the tree. There's a lot of branches. Yeah, so my dad and my mom played college basketball. My mom played at BYU and kind of had that thing going. And her brother played at Wyoming. He was a quarterback at Wyoming. And that's where I get my name, John. So John Gustin's watching. That's where I get my name. And yeah, my dad played basketball at Boise State. And my mom's dad played football at Utah State. So it's, and then we, you know, Lauren Gustin from the basketball team last year. She's a baller.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so there's been a lot of players. And
what about siblings?
Oh yeah, sorry, Sibs. I know you're watching this too. I had an older brother, James. He played basketball up in Idaho at Northwest Nazarene, and then my sister, Jane, played at Eastern Oregon. And yeah, so they a lot of basketball players, but some football players. And then my cousin Porter played at USC, and then played in the NFL for a little bit. And yeah, so some football, some basketball.
Who do you have with us in the stands tonight?
Oh, I have my dad, my mom, and my stepdad, and my girlfriend.
Okay.
So,
thanks for all being here.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're glad you're here. Hometown is?
Salem, Utah.
Okay. Life in Salem for you. What was that like?
It was nice. It was nice and quiet and peaceful. I'll say that. It got me out of a lot of trouble. I mean, I had a lot of good friends, and I still talk to all of them. And one of my friends is married, and they're expecting their first kid and everything. So I still get texts like that all the time, and it's really exciting to have that closest to them. And they all live around here, and so I get to see them all the time.
Kalani, when did you first become acquainted with John Nelson?
Yeah, when we were recruiting him, he's a big-time recruit. We knew that, we knew the connection because his genetics, I mean, you're going to be something special. The decision was what we're going to play him at, what position, because he's super athletic. He can do a lot of different things, and we wanted him to gain some weight and play it up front because he kind of likes contact. And, it's natural to him, so... and he likes to get in there and get kind of dirty and doesn't mind people double teaming, trying to 600 pounds of force trying to take him on, and he knows leverage and he's tough, man. So he's done some amazing things for us. You can see what the things that he's done as a leader for us and with the D line, and then he's always got this great attitude and great leadership. So I get the benefit from all that, And if not, I just call his cousins. They'll come and make sure, straighten them out if there's anything that I need to do. If I need any help, I got the family there.
What do you like doing in your spare time? If it's either the off season, which is really short for you guys, or it's a bye week and the weather's good, what are you going to be doing off the field?
Yeah, so I like to go back home to Salem a little bit. And I picked up the guitar in the off season to just kind of challenge myself, kind of helps me calm down. So.
Do you teach yourself?
Yeah, a little bit with YouTube. I took a guitar class and played a little bit for my mom back at her house. And I got a couple nieces, and they like it. So doing that, and then hanging out with some of my high school friends and some of some friends I made here and everything. And every once in a while, I'll go on an adventure with some of my cousins. So that's about it.
Do you fish a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Okay.
I like to do that.
All right. We have a fishing-themed activity coming up for you after this. kind of. We're going to be playing something we call Something's Fishy. When BYU Football with Kalani Sitake continues, stay with us. Studio C, jam-packed we are, for more BYU football with Kalani Sitake. Time now for our mini game show portion of the program. We teed John up a little bit, wanted to make sure he was a fisherman. He said he was, kind of, sort of. So we're going to introduce you to a new activity we're tonight calling Something's Fishy. Yes. Production value, people. Production value. All right. We are going to, now the kids today would call this two truths and a lie. But we're just going to say, we're going to give you three facts about a teammate of yours, and your job is to pick out the one that's not true.
Okay.
Okay, so you're looking for the thing that's not correct. We're going to start with our guy Tyler Batty.
Oh, gosh.
Okay? Three facts about Tyler Batty. One of these is not true.
Okay.
That's your job to find the one that's not true. A, he speaks Spanish. B, he's studying construction management. Or C, he loves to hunt and fish. Which one's a little fishy to you, John Nelson?
How about a B for Batty?
B for Batty, that's correct. He's not studying construction management. He does study, but it's nutritional science is his major. Nutritional science. So that is how it's played. Did you know he was a nutritional science major, by the way?
No.
Or you just knew that it wasn't that?
It wasn't that.
Okay. Number two, Jacob Robinson. Jacob Robinson, three facts about Jacob. A, he played at Timpanogos High School. B, he's second in BYU career picks since the year 2000. Or C, he's studying economics. Which one of those is not quite right?
I'm going to go with number A, letter A.
Why do you believe that?
Because I played him in high school.
Okay. And he played for?
He played for Orem.
Played for Orem, exactly right. So Jacob was a Orem Tiger.
Yeah, I found it.
All right, there's a new kid, Touchdown Tommy, Tommy Prassis. Fact A, he played at the same high school as Micah Harper. Fact B, he grew up a big Arizona fan. Fact C, has BYU's only scoop and score on the season.
I'm going to go with, can I see the?
Yeah, they're up on the screen there.
I'm going to go with B.
Very good. He grew up an Arizona State fan. He is from Arizona, but he was a Sun Devil fan, not a Wildcat. So John is he's acing the test so far, 3 for 3. We go to Darius Lassiter.
All right.
Fact A, previously played for Eastern Michigan. Fact B, his father played most of his NFL career for the Philadelphia Eagles. Fact C, he loves to golf and bowl.
I don't know if Darius loves the golf. I don't know. I haven't seen him on any of the golf posts. Maybe I'm completely wrong, but I'm going to go with C. He doesn't love the golf.
Do you think Darius golfs, Kalani? I think he likes to golf. Just don't know.
Well, if he said, maybe he likes to, but I don't think he's good at it. Well, I'm not good at it either, so I'm not one to say.
This one is actually B. His dad was an NFLer, but he played for the Cardinals,
that's
not the Eagles.
That's right.
Cardinals. So
yeah,
there we go. That's how that works. Womp womp. All right. question five here.
No,
this will be Jake Retzloff.
So he does love.
He does love to golf.
Mm.
Whether
Sorry,
he's good
Darius.
At it or not. Yeah. Jake Retzloff. A. Currently leads the team in rushing yards. B, is studying exercise science. Or C, had no senior season in high school for some reason.
I'm going to go with, he does lead the team in rushing, I think.
Or does he?
And I don't think he played a senior. I think he's told me that because he was a 2021 kid. I'm going to go with B. He's doing exercise and wellness, I think.
Well, thanks to L.J. Martin, he does not lead the team in rushing yards anymore. Oh. L.J. has passed him up. But he did for like six or seven games. He was the man.
Yeah.
L.J. has recently passed him. So,
you're not
fact
keeping
A.
up with the stats. On
I know. It kind of goes over my head all the...
All right. Six will be Chase Roberts.
Okay.
Chase Roberts. A, related distantly to Julia Roberts. B, speaks Tagalog. Or C, likes to go boating. Which of those three is not correct? Which is not right? Which is fishy to you, John Nelson?
He's not related to Julia Roberts, I don't think.
We're going with that one, and that is correct. He's not related to Julia Roberts.
Nice.
Next, we go to Will the Thrill, Will Farron. Fact A, Boise State transfer. Fact B, has a career long of 51 yards. Fact C, has made a higher percentage of field goals of any BYU kicker with 15 or more tries. So the best percentage guy, a career long of 51, or transfer from Boise State, which one's not right?
I feel like you're throwing a curveball at me and making it like his longest is 53 or 52.
I think you're headed the right direction with that.
So I think that's the one that's
That is
right.
The one. Yeah, it's actually 54, which that's, is career
yeah.
long, so that'll be a little short for him.
Yeah.
All right. And this last one, well, you kind of have to get, because it's you. Fact A, played both O-line and D-line in high school. B, plays the guitar, which we know is a thing. And C, has two brothers on the team.
It's going to be C, because I only have one brother on the team.
But he does have a brother on the team. But well done. You got that one, and we would be surprised if he didn't. All right. John, you did very well.
Do I get a car?
Well, it is the NIL era. You never know. It's just, and it's, nope. When we come back, it's our weekly Q&A segment. We'll have the coach and John for that one. BYU football with Kalani Sitake. Continue. Stay with us.
BYU football with Kalani Sitake is brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics, Smarty, address data wizards, and Ken Garf. We hear you.
Football with Kalani Sitake. Time for our Q&A portion of the night. It's presented by Ken Garf. We hear you. And we're going to hear from two people here in our studio audience. Our first young man is at the mic. What's your name and who's your question for?
Cruz, coach. What do you think was BYU's best game this season?
Because my memory's better from the most recent one, probably the one that we just got. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. Whenever you win a game and you have thousands of students waiting for you, and when you get back home, you know, that's always a fun celebration. So thank you for that question.
Appreciate that. And we'll have time for, I think, one more in this segment before we head to break. Sir.
How you doing? This is for Coach Kalani. How do you manage to keep such a diverse group of men all marching to the same beat?
We try to rally around one thing, which is the gospel. You know, we talk about following our Savior and our connection with God, and I think that's something, regardless of your religion and what your affiliation is, you can agree on the similar things that you believe, and we rally around that, and brotherhood and family and love, and I think good things can happen from that. It's happened already for us since I've been here, and as a player and as a fan, and now I get to enjoy it as a head coach, and I get to coach great young men like John and his teammates.
Thank you. And John, what are you going to take from the brotherhood experience you've had here at BYU?
I'm just going to take away just, you know, loving and understanding people for whatever, you know, background they come from, and working together towards a common goal, and just knowing that to do really great things takes a lot of discipline and hard work over a long period of time. And, so it's going to teach me a lot of patience and how to work with people.
How much fun is 9-0 at this point, by the way?
A lot of fun.
As we take another break, here's this week's trivia question presented by Breeze, the official hometown airline of BYU Athletics. Will Ferrin, man, a lot of Will Ferrin on the show tonight, for good reason. He's 17 for 20 on his field goal tries this season. Who holds the BYU record for most field goals made in a single season? The answer coming up right after this. Stay with us. Here inside Studio C tonight for BYU football with Kalani Sitake. Tonight's trivia question looks like that. It's presented by Breeze, the official hometown airline of BYU Athletics. So Will Ferrin, 17 for 20. The record for most field goals in a single season is held by Justin Sorensen, 21. He was 21 for 26 back in 2013. So Kalani, we can say that Will's pacing to be a record setter this year.
Yeah, when we need field goals, that'd be great if some coach would stop going for it on fourth down. Maybe he'd get there. But, yeah, I like him kicking PATs more than field goals. So.
But when it's time for a field goal, you can count on
him. Yeah,
Will.
We can count on him.
All right, let's take a look at Saturday's broadcast schedule as BYU hosts Kansas for the first time ever. Yes, third meeting all time, but first time ever in Provo. You got BYU Sports Nation Game Day and Cougar Pregame Live on BYU TV and BYU Radio, respectively. We'll kick this thing off around 8:15, 8:20 Mountain Time, 10:15, 10:20 Eastern. It'll be on ESPN and BYU Radio with Hans, Mitch, and me. And then stay with us on BYU TV and radio after the game for all the postgame coverage. What will the Cougs be wearing on Saturday night for this late night kick? It'll be the royal and white combo, always a good look. And there you see it, royal helmet, royal jersey, and white pants. All right, we've got literally about 20 seconds left in the show. And it's, statement 10, I guess we'd say, right? Kalani and John this week?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There you go.
Yep.
So
I'm trying to give John the mic.
It's all good. Guys, good luck this weekend. We look forward to doing this again with you, Kalani, next week. And Kevin Young will be with us next week as well.
Let's go.
It's up. All right.